Bro, how many days do you lift?
All of them.
How much weight do you lift?
All of them.
Experience Podcast. I am your host, Mr. Ancona. Here at the Monarch Experience Podcast, we are giving students the platform to be able to voice their opinions about what matters most to them. And today, we're talking how much you bench, bro. Today, we're talking about all things weightlifting. We're talking today all things going to the gym, physical fitness, getting yourself in shape, going and getting into any style of weightlifting. We're going to be chatting about a whole bunch of different things, whatever your type of fitness may be, whether it be CrossFit or endurance or running, powerlifting. There's so many different ways that you can get yourself into shape if that is your goal for this new year and for the rest of your life. Talking about just things that we love about lifting, why the three of us love going to the gym and weightlifting in particular so much, where there's been this far transfer of benefits that go far beyond, you know, positive body image. Talking about what things potentially keep people back from going to the gym. Why, like, what stereotypes or perceptions of the gym make people nervous or kind of turn them off where they're like, nah, I don't want to go. Chatting about a lot of other things too in this episode, healthy eating habits, personal goals of ours, how to kind of start too. So if you're looking basically as like an entry level, we're hoping that this may be the podcast for you. This may be the episode for you. This is not, just a disclaimer, this is not a tutorial. So if you're listening to this podcast trying to figure out like a training split that you want to do because you're going to the gym, awesome. This is probably not kind of where we're heading for today. But before we get into this, make sure that you're following us on Snapchat at the Monarch Experience Podcast. If TikTok is your thing, add us on Monarch XP. And if Twitter is your thing, the Monarch XP. Give us a follow on all of our social media platforms. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you may be listening to this podcast. You know where to find it. If you're listening to this, you know where to find it. So there's no need for me to tell you that it's available everywhere. All right, so let's introduce our two guests today. We got gym bro number one. We got Jack. Jack, make your gym grunt of preference to our audience.
No, you can't do that.
Do you have a gym grunt of your preference?
Nah, but like...
He's a silent lifter.
Yeah.
Silent but deadly.
Yeah, I get really tired and I don't say anything.
Nice. You'd be fine then at Planet Fitness, obviously. They won't hit the lunk alarm.
Oh, no. I got the lunk alarm so many times. Are the people that they just disabled at Planet Fitness?
Well, let's hear it. We got Umar returning for a second episode. You may remember Umar from the Squid Game episode. He is also one of our beloved content creators. So if you are loving the stuff that we are putting on TikTok, make sure you give Umar a... social distance high five in the hallway when you see them. If you don't love the stuff that they're putting on TikTok, then it's probably my fault. Umar, say hi to our audience.
What's up?
He's asking a question. Let's wait for the audience to respond. All right, perfect. Wonderful. I'm so glad you guys are here. Umar, we were chatting about this episode in great passion and great detail. I should have kept the planning like scribble that we wrote as like a relic.
Do you have that?
No, I threw it out, man. Because we put everything on the dock, and then we were like, all right, I don't need this. But that thing was like a work of art.
I was.
Because we took like your rambling, my rambling.
And we just like combined it.
And we were just like, okay, here, let's organize this. And this idea really started with Umar. Like, I've always loved lifting, and it's been an enormous part of my life since I was, I don't know, wait, what, 14? Since I came into this world, bro, I was bench pressing. And I got so excited when we were talking about this because I was like, yeah, any opportunity to kind of spread the love of weightlifting and spread the love of staying in shape and health and how important that could be for people, especially when you're at the age where like you're getting into lifting. So you're getting into lifting. Umar, your favorite lift or exercise in the gym?
My favorite one's probably going to be a bench press because so that's like the best one, just a flat bench press.
All right. I mean, that is like the king of all lifts, right? Because the first thing people ask is,
how much do you bench?
How much you bench? They ask you to make a bicep, but they ask how much you bench. Nobody wants to know, like, yo, how much you lat pulling.
I actually asked Mr. Ancona this, I think.
How much I lat pull?
No, I no.
We always want to know, like, how much you bench? How much you bench? It's the king for a reason. So, Umar, totally makes sense. Jack, your favorite lift and why?
I really like just, like, pure curling just because I don't really like to, like, bench or deadlift because, like, I don't know. I feel like it might stunt my growth, so I don't really do that much.
I'm sure we'll talk about that at some point. So curls?
Yeah.
Well, because the number one thing when someone says make a muscle, Jack, you show off.
Yeah.
The bicep.
Yeah.
Right? So, of course, you gotta work the show muscles. My favorite lift is the deadlift. I think it has been for like the last like 3 years.
It's not like not good for you?
No, totally is good for you. I think
it works like every muscle.
Yeah, that's the thing that I think, you know, maybe somewhere in this episode we're kind of hopefully dispelling some myths. One being that lifting at an early age stunts growth. I don't know where the myth came from, but
I don't believe that either. It's a myth, but isn't deadlifting like, doesn't that like squish your growth plates together?
No, not at all. So any lift done properly is not going to stunt any growth.
Really?
Yeah. For some reason or another, there's I think in life there's a fear. We're going to get philosophical here. There's a fear of what people don't know. And I think the gym and health is something, not saying I'm an expert in any way, but I think it's something that people tend to not know much about or know very surface level about. And because of that, we fear the things we don't know. And
just, you know, like how you were scared of the dark when you were little.
Exactly. Look at that. And like, I think, you know, the deadlift is a complicated lift. It looks scary. It looks intimidating. It's the only lift where you're starting it from a dead start. Mm. You know, the bench, you're coming down to your chest and springing it up. Like squatting, you're starting from the top down and then working your way back up. Deadlift's the only lift where you're starting from the ground. You have no momentum to use. And I kind of love that about it.
Because all you're using is your muscles then. It's just pure pulling.
It's just dead start. I mean, dead lift. It's pure start off the ground. So I love the deadlift. That's kind of really been where a lot of my focus has been. And there's just something really, this is going to sound lame, primal about it. Oh. Like, I'm lifting this thing off the ground. Like, it's awesome. I love it. Really, really love it. All right, so we're going to start chatting about a lot of things gym and weightlifting related, and I want to hear your individual stories about why you got into lifting and all that. I think the number one thing, though, that I want to make sure that we're kind of addressing right off the top is, one, there is no one-size-fits-all for getting yourself into shape. And you can do it, and I hope this episode is able to kind of touch upon this. There's no one way. There's many different ways of achieving your fitness goal, and not one thing only works. So, you know, while our focus here with Jack and Umar is going to primarily be weightlifting for the most part, it seems like, that's not the only way you can achieve your fitness goals. And the idea is never as simple as just have more willpower or try harder. You're just not trying hard enough, because that's not the case. Every individual has a lot of different things, a lot of different responsibilities, a lot of their own individual circumstances that we can't avoid, whether it be a single parent or a student with a lot of responsibilities during a really stressful time. It's never as easy as just don't eat bad stuff, because your family cooks for you. Your culture is going to play a factor in what you eat. There's not just one way of doing it, even though we're kind of only going to be touching on a few, but by no means is that the only way. And just because we're three dudes, let's make sure we get this myth or misconception.
Girls can lift too.
Girls can lift too? You're not going to get bulky. I know that that's a fear that you see a lot that ladies will have, that if I get into weight, I can only run. I can only do cardio. If I weightlift, I'm going to get bulky. I'm going to get jacked. I'm going to look too strong. I'm going to look too muscular. That's just not true. If that were the case, well, the three of us would be jacked.
We'd
be enormous if it was just that simple. So we want to make sure that people are educated a little bit about this and not kind of going in with rumors and myths that, for whatever reason, have kind of taken shape. All right. So enough of all this disclaimer stuff. Umar, why do you love going to the gym?
When I first started in sixth grade, I was kind of fat. So I wanted to lose weight by eighth grade, like be skinny. And I never really did anything. And in seventh grade, I'm like most people were virtual. So, that was me. I was home on my bed literally all day just I would wake up, Chromebooks next to me. My dad would bring me some food. Then I would get. I only get up to play video games
breakfast
at night.
In bed?
Yeah.
Ooh, look at you.
And lunch.
Living
and
in the life of luxury, man.
I would probably get like 300 steps a day. Not even gonna joke. So what I did was
bathroom and back, and that's it.
That's probably it. My bed, I was just like sitting there, like I slept there.
Sure.
And then my school was virtual, so yeah. I was like, let me just stay in bed. I'm kind of tired.
So why do you love going to the gym?
Because it's basically saved my life.
Okay.
And I was so unconfident, like I couldn't look people in their eyes or anything or talk. And I think that's like most people in sixth grade.
Yeah.
But ever since I started going to the gym, even though I didn't get big, right? I got like I'm stronger.
Yeah.
But I'm not big like Mr. Ancona here.
Thanks. The keyword you just used is so important. Stronger.
Yeah.
Right? Healthier. Like skinnier. Like
there's not a set level of skinny or strong or big.
Whatever your goal is, and look at you now. Go ahead. So what's happened after these 2 months where you started going to the gym?
So I've gotten so much more confident, and that's the only reason I'm a content creator is because of the gym. I'm confident. I wouldn't have been able to go to your desk and ask you to further position.
I love that. That's awesome.
And it's also giving me like something to do. Usually what I would do is I would come home and then just sit in a chair, do my work, and then I'd probably like go for a run or something. But it's only like 2 or 3 miles.
Yeah.
So I'm not really burning that much. And then I would just sit home all day. So now my schedule is I get down to school, I go to the gym.
So it's your passion, basically.
I'm running every day. I burn.
It's something you love.
Yeah.
I love what I'm hearing too about just like the idea that like this far transfer of confidence, right? You're not even talking about, and I'm sure it's there, you're not even talking about your confidence with your body or your self-image or like your ability in the gym.
Like, just confidence. It's like
confidence in general.
Talking like, right now into this microphone, knowing hundreds of people will see this episode is confidence. And I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't go to the gym.
Yeah.
And it works. Honestly, I thought it was like cringe when my friend told me like, bro, you'll be more confident. I was like, no way. That does not happen.
Yeah.
And then it happened.
I think a big part of that too, and I don't want to get too philosophical into this. I think it's like, you know, you set a goal, mini goals, even if it's just like within your one workout, you set a goal and then you survive it. Like you overcome it and you're like, whew, that thing didn't kill me. All right, I'll do this again tomorrow. Jack, what about you? Why do you love going to the gym? Why do you love working out? What's your passion for it?
So I really like going to the gym just because like it gives me something to do, like beside from like school and like hanging out with a lot of people. And then like I also like just think about like if I don't go, like maybe I like won't look a certain way, but like that's not all true. I just like do that just so I can go. But I really like going to the gym because I like seeing like my improvements and like how I improve over like small periods of time,
monitoring that progress.
Yeah. And I think that's just like a cool thing to see.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Like your body is so adaptive to anything, right? Like your body can get used to lifting whatever you've been lifting last week, and then this week it's too light.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 4 weeks, progressive overload. Like if 4 weeks, that's like way too light, and it's then you could stop lifting for 8 weeks.
And then like sometimes like it might do that, but then it might like also feel heavier after you stop for like a period of time.
Your body, you're basically telling your body you need this to survive. Like you need this size, you need the strength to survive. Mm-hmm. That's what was happening to you with you in bed. Right? Your body was like,
oh yeah,
I don't need to move to survive.
Yeah.
So I don't got to do anything. So for me, you know, I don't know. Like I've been lifting, I guess, since like seriously lifting or working out was a significant part of my routine, my life, my hobby, or, you know, identity. That's a little too extreme. Probably since I was like 13, right around middle school. I think I just was into sports and seeing sports. I was into pro wrestling. And, you know, those guys are like superheroes. And I'm like, oh, man, like I want to be like them. That's really cool. And just slowly started getting into lifting. We'd go to the weight room after school in high school. Joined the wrestling team. Really loved like being the strongest guy on the wrestling team. That always kind of was like a cool like sense of pride and just fell in love with it. And there's no deeper reason. Like I like lifting things. I lift things up. I put them down. Jack said, you know, Umar, what you said too, but like what Jack said, just it's really cool to be able to just go in, work on a goal, hit that goal or fail at it and then continue to make progress or continue to strive towards that goal. Like, it's a never ending finished project, and there's just something really cool about it. Yeah. And I just like lifting stuff. It's fun. It doesn't have to be filth. Like, hey, can you go lift that? Yeah, I'll go lift that for you. What do you want me to do? There's a lot of different styles of fitness too, right? So I think when people were starting to get into the gym, and I think for people who are listening to this podcast, thinking about getting into the gym and all that, I think sometimes they can be a little bit turned off by, no, gym, isn't that just like buff bodybuilders? And there's so many different ways. I mean, just off the top of, for me, I got into lifting through bodybuilding. Like, I read Arnold's Encyclopedia of Bodybuilding. Ronnie Coleman was like the coolest thing in the world when I was in high school, when he was, you know, reigning Mr. Olympia. Like, to me, that was all, you know, 3 sets of 10, 3 sets of 12. It was all about bodybuilding. And then as I've kind of gotten older, I've gotten a little bit more into powerlifting and a lot more into like strongman. So there's just so many different ways that you can approach lifting. For you guys, where's your kind of love lie?
I like doing calisthenics.
Okay.
So,
like what? What's that?
It's basically like the control of your body. So, pull-ups, push-ups, sit-ups, and then like eventually you'll be able to do a muscle-up. Eventually you'll be able to hold yourself on a pole with like one hand.
Okay.
Or like two hands.
Sure.
Or something like that. Like moving your body using your body, like doing cool things with it.
Yeah, I love the wording there. Moving your body using your body. So basically like body weight stuff.
Yeah, it's not like walking. Like, I mean, like lifting, like laying down and then lifting yourself in the air, to a handstand, like, just using your arms.
Yeah, like a handstand, right? Yeah. Or like a upside down push up.
No, but a handstand, like you start laying down flat on the floor, and then you raise yourself up.
All core strength stuff.
Yeah, so you need very strong abs.
Yeah, very, very strong. Not show abs, strong abs. Love that. That's awesome, man. Jack, what about you? Where's a lot of your love for lifting or fitness? Where does that kind of lie?
Probably like around, I don't lift all the time, but most of my lifting, I'll do like 2 times a week, 3 times a week. But then the other days I'll focus on cardio.
Okay.
Mostly just
what do you do for cardio? You a runner, rower? Swimmer?
Yeah. I run outside. I used to row on like a rowing machine.
Yeah.
But I just did that for fun. I don't really do that anymore. Now I just run. That's all I do really. For cardio.
There's so many different ways you can do cardio too. I mean, you know, you said you used to row. We recently just got a rower. I kind of like it. It's actually crazy the amount of calories you can burn rowing.
Really?
Yeah, compared to running. It feels
compared to running?
Yeah, it feels like a different style of cardio though.
Isn't it slow though? Like
you could go as fast as you want. You
can do intervals, like burning just like calories, jogging, doesn't it take a longer running time?
Well, I mean, you're using your upper body and lower body.
How the lower body?
When you row and you're pushing?
Yeah. Oh, I thought you like, don't you pull with your arm?
Yeah, and it comes forward on the track.
Oh, then you push with your legs.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So you're using a lot of aerobic ability there. Rowing is fun. People run. I know a lot of people like love swimming, and that is like crazy way to burn calories.
Oh, yeah. Isn't it like 4,600 an hour or something? Or not 4,600, like... Something like that.
I don't know about the numbers, but I mean, it's a crazy amount of work that you have to do to be able to swim, especially if you're swimming underwater. I mean, look at Michael Phelps.
Yeah, you have to be like treading your feet.
Yeah. I mean, look at Michael Phelps, right?
Swimmers
like, greatest
have,
Olympic
yeah,
swimmer
it's also
of
good
all
for
time.
Your muscles, honestly. Yeah. Like Michael Phelps, his shoulders are really big because you need good shoulders.
Oh, the dude he's jacked. So I think there's so many different ways that you can work out. CrossFit, obviously, is another one. Endurance training. I mean, you can really find any type of programming and really fit it towards your needs, whatever your goals are, right? If you want to get big, if you want to get strong, you know, you should be doing things that will focus on getting you big and getting you strong. Yeah. So I think that there's not just one type of way to get into exercising. Some people get in a pool in the summer, and they start doing laps, and they realize they love the feeling of doing 40 laps in the pool and how they're, like, out of breath and how their shoulders are pumped, right? Like, their legs are feeling like, man, I got, like, a workout in. Some people love that. I don't. That's not for me. I want to chill in the pool and relax. Same thing the other way. I love going in and, like, lifting weight. Some people don't want to lift weight. You can tailor anything to you to get yourself whatever your goals are. But I think that there's a lot of things sometimes that hold people back from going to the gym or from even just starting. What are, Jack, in your mind, what are some things that you think hold other people back from going to a gym or starting getting into their fitness journey?
I mean, maybe like insecurity is definitely one, but like,
how's that play a factor?
Probably like how you'll start out or like how you'll look starting out. But it could also be like stereotypical.
Like what?
Like if you're going to the gym, like you're this guy like who wants to get like shredded, you want to be like this shredded freak, but like you just really just want to go just to like maintain and like stay healthy or even like just look a certain way. Not like a freak though, like
that. Yeah. Do you think that like I guess for guys that there's like the perception that like all guys want to go to the gym and get shredded and jacked?
Yeah.
Yeah, that definitely plays like a big perception. Yeah.
And then like if that's not your goal and you're going, the judgment I guess that would come along with like, look at you, you're not getting big at all. Like you're not shredded. Yeah. It's like, well, that's not my goal.
I think that's
really honest, Jack. And I think there's people in any gym that, you know, you look around, you look at 10 people, they probably all have 10 different goals from one another. And I think that's kind of the beauty of it. Any other things that you think hold people back from going to the gym?
Not really, but like the goal things, like your goal can also be different from someone else's because like you can have like someone else can have this super big like long-term goal, but you have like a short-term goal, which can like you have like multiple short-term goals when someone else has like a big long-term goal. So that kind of plays like a big role in like what you're actually doing at the gym.
Okay, absolutely. Umar, what about you? What do you think either held you back at one point or what do you think holds people back in general from either starting their fitness, you know, journey, that sounds so fluffy, or what, you know, holds people back from going to the gym?
Like the fact that when I first started, I expected there to only be super strong people.
Yeah.
And when I got there, there wasn't, but there still were a few.
Yeah.
So I was like afraid to ask questions. That's super dumb.
Why do you think people are so afraid of asking questions in the gym?
Because they look so big, strong, and masculine that you feel like they're just going to beat you up.
Okay, like you're afraid that like if you ask someone a question, they're going to like maybe not hurt you, but
like
tease judge you.
Like,
or make
small.
Fun of you? Mm-hmm. Sure, yeah. I mean, I think that's a like legitimate. I think that's really real for a lot of people. I think it's crazy too that like people aren't willing to admit that they don't know everything about something that they're just starting. Like, you're just starting to go to the gym. You're just starting to get into exercising, and you don't know anything. I mean, you know a little bit, but you don't know anything. Yeah. And I think there is this fear for some reason, and I don't know why, I guess, like, people, we do this, but we're like, I can't let anyone know that I don't know what I'm doing. Well, how are you ever going to learn what to do? And I think that's so real, though, and I think, unfortunately, some people think they're the only ones. Like, oh, no, if I go to the gym, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm going to mess up and I'm going to look like an idiot. Everyone's been there at some point. And yeah. I think like, Umar, did you find that the people in your gym were more helpful than you anticipated?
Way more. When I,
talk to us about it.
So when I first asked like the biggest, I didn't want to ask. So I feel like this is a stereotype, but I didn't want to ask someone small
sure.
a question. Cause I feel like they wouldn't be, you know, as experienced.
Okay.
So I would first ask kids like me, you know, like if I saw another kid, which is rare. But then I asked like some of the big, strong people, and I expected their voice to be, you know, like really deep, and like you know what I mean, like
yeah, this is real. I love this.
And then when they started talking to me, they were so nice, and I was like, what? Okay.
You're like thrown off by when you say nice, helpful.
Yeah, very very nice and helpful.
Why do you think that is?
Because everyone starts somewhere, you know.
Yeah.
Like also to add, like they were probably like in a position like similar to you at one time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. No matter how big he is, right. Or no matter how fit she is, however strong she is, or how like great endurance that dude has, like they all were in. I know this sounds so like cliche, but like they all were walking into the gym for the first time.
Yeah.
They all were trying out that exercise for the first time. They were all trying out that diet for the first time. Like, they all were doing something. They had no clue what they were doing for the first time.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
I think, like, going in with that mentality is really helpful, safe, like, helps you feel a little more secure because, like, Umar, how long did it take you before you asked somebody?
Probably a month.
That, I mean.
And that was a month wasted.
Wonderfully said, right? Think about how many people go years without asking.
Well, every second you don't ask a question and learn, you're wasting.
Look at this guy.
When I first started, I used to do, like, I didn't know, like, sets, reps, what is this?
Yeah.
I'm just going to curl 5 times a day, and I expect to be strong. And now I'm actually building a workout. So
yeah.
I've been, like, making my own split and stuff because I go through a phase. So the first one was just, like, my dad has some dumbbells at home.
Yeah.
25 pounds, 5 times.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm done.
Yeah.
Why am I not growing? Where are my biceps at?
Yeah.
So then now I followed the Arnold split, if you know what that
sure.
is. And that was working really well.
You're talking about Arnold Schwarzenegger, obviously.
Yeah. And that wasn't, like, catered towards me, right? So I decided to make my own.
You're personalizing the experience.
Yeah. And I was, it's really tough, but when I do the workout, it makes me feel good because I'm like, this isn't Arnold's, this isn't his, it's mine. I made this.
Love that. And, you know, you said something that stands out to me. You do it, you feel good. You're proud of the work you're putting in, right? That's, like, a huge part of it. I mean, for me, it's a harder story for me to kind of share, like, personally what kept me back from going into the gym because I've had a garage gym or a basement gym, like, my entire life. I've just built and built and added over the years, like, every Christmas, every birthday. What do you want for Christmas? I want this new piece of equipment. I want, like, the next set of dumbbells. I've kind of built and built and built throughout the years. I recently went to a gym, actually for the first time in my life, like, last winter. And it was a strongman gym because I was starting to get into strongman, which for me, you know, I'm 5'7", 5'8", 170 pounds. You're not going to confuse me with strongman at all. So even someone who's been lifting for 20 years or whatever, I'm going to a gym that's like a whole nother planet for me. It's, you know, log press and farmer walks and Atlas stones and like yokes and all this stuff that you see on like ESPN, World's Strongest Man at like 2 a.m. And for me, it was like, I don't belong here. And I'm sure that for a lot of people starting their fitness journey or going to a gym, they may feel the same kind of thing. Like, I don't belong here. And that was before I even took a step in there. It was just, I'm not a strong man. I don't do this. I don't belong here. But, you know, a lot of that is really just your own perception of what you think the situation is going to be like. And overcoming that obstacle is the hardest obstacle to overcome. Because once I got there, I was like, oh, my God, this is like the most welcoming atmosphere. They were so helpful with showing me how to use the implements. But like, that's, I think, the thing. Once you go, you realize there's a lot that's in common. And Jack, you kind of mentioned this before a little bit about like people like who were at the gym, them looking different and all. Like, you all have something in common. You guys realize what that thing is, right?
That you're at the gym.
You're all like, at the gym.
Yeah.
Like, that dude's bigger than me. That dude's more cut than me, right? She's in better shape than me. She can lift more than me. They can run faster than me. Yeah, but you all have something in common. It's like his goals are to get shredded. Mine are to get big. Like my goals are here to do this. But your goals, you know, you're all in the same boat. You all are trying to better your body. You're all trying to better your health. And I think like if you go with that mentality that we have a lot in common, so much more successful. But I don't think that everything just happens in the gym, right? And for some people, their individual goals might just be to lose weight. And to get leaner. So I think it's hard also because you can't out-train poor eating habits and understanding food and social situations, family culture, you know, all play a factor in food choice. I'm Italian. You know what we like to eat?
Pasta. Carbs.
Tons and tons of carbs. And like growing up, pasta for me, so this is like what I mean by like you can't – at your age, it's really tough to just – oh, I'm going to make, like, diet changes.
I have the advantage, honestly, because I'm from Pakistan, and all we eat is meat.
Like, that's
meat,
awesome.
Meat. We have goat, chicken, beef, that's so lamb.
That's great.
All I eat is meat.
So
meat and carbs.
For me, growing up, that, like, pasta wasn't a dish. It was a starter. Like, it was an appetizer.
Yeah.
Start with the pasta, then we go to, like, the other carb, the vegetable and the meat. So, like, your social situation, your culture a lot of times plays a factor, kind of like what Umar was saying, too. And like what food choices are available for you.
I think that if you want to lose weight, that's not a change you can make to your body. That's a change you have to make to your lifestyle.
Yeah.
So I've noticed it's very easy for me to gain the weight back if I'm too careless.
Yeah.
Like one, honestly, Thanksgiving dinner. I'm not even joking.
Yeah.
I checked the scale.
Yeah, everybody gains 5 pounds.
I want to buy like 4 or 5 pounds.
Yeah.
I was like, is this broken or something? And it's like, I have to be so careful now and with my life that I don't want to gain anything.
Sure.
And losing it is even harder now because I have to.
Well, Thanksgiving, you got to remember too, when you're eating potentially like 17 pounds of food, it's got to go somewhere. So that's only natural. I know for me, like I will plan my meals like when I'm going to eat. I'm kind of like obsessive like that. Like I'm almost, my wife would probably agree that I'm a challenge to do like day trips or go do things, because if we're leaving at 9 a.m. and we're planning on coming home like later in the like late afternoon, like my thought is like, okay, I got to bring with me some kind of snack that I can eat or a meal. And also like, when are we going to eat when we're out? I need to like plan this out. But for me, that's what helps me make healthier food choices. Jack, what about you? Like, how do you kind of avoid eating out of boredom or whatever your eating, healthy eating habits are aligned with your goals?
Usually I just think of like what I usually always think about is like, you're going to eat this and you're going to get like excitement or enjoyment for like the 5 seconds you're eating it. But
and then you're going to be down for the rest of your, like the rest, like for a week or something. Cause you're going to be,
yeah, you're just going to feel bad about what you ate. Like, yeah.
I think what's hard about that too, guys, is like, you know, Umar, you said you eat and then you feel bad about it for a week.
Well, it depends if I eat like, yeah, not like a week. Pig, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
healthy eating habits, I think, too, is like is also dealing with just like having a healthy relationship with food, which I think, you know, for anybody, period, whatever your goals are, I think could be really dangerous, because you know, you don't wanna, you know, pig out, enjoy Thanksgiving. And then the next meal, the next time you're eating, whether it's dinner or breakfast the next day, just make choices that are good for you.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't and shouldn't, it does happen, shouldn't ruin the day. It shouldn't ruin the next week. You know, you shouldn't beat yourself up over it either. Pigging out one day or slipping up and having, you know, like ice cream or like having like a really delicious meal because you're with your family is not going to set you back.
Yeah, yeah, you definitely need like not like a cheat day, but you need moderation in your diet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like
Yeah,
one thing my dad told me to help me lose weight is you eat to live, you don't live to eat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You don't have to be full, you don't have to be starving.
I think too is this is maybe more of a Western thing. But I mean, I know I eat like this and definitely was trained to eat like this. And what I mean by trained is like, this was my experience growing up. Like, you eat all the food on your plate. I mean, when you were little, wasn't that what you were told? Like,
you
don't get up from the table until that plate is clean. And if you're full, we kind of say, keep eating. Like, my son will be like, can I be done? He's 4. We'll be like, no, dude, you need to finish. Like, you need to finish what we put on the plate. And that's not a bad mindset, but I think, you know, when you're trying to moderate what you're eating and trying to make healthy choices, you know, you don't have to eat everything that's on the plate. You know, listen to your body as you're going. If you're feeling full, you're feeling full. On the flip side, you know, if I want to enjoy, if my son wants to have ice cream and wants to get ice cream together, I'm going to have ice cream with him. Like, it's not going to ruin my goals. I'm not going to the next day go in the gym and go, oh man, look at me, I'm a mess now.
Yeah. I'm actually going to like talk about the food thing, the plate real quick.
Yeah,
like,
go for it, man.
If you like, just like the idea of a plate, like if you have all this food, and the best thing to do is not to like keep getting the food or keep like putting the food out there for you to see. Honestly, just like if you're trying to like cut or lose weight, just like get rid of the food. Like
in the house, you mean?
Yeah, well, yeah. Like that.
I
like,
used to think of that too, but you know what I did? Huh? I just ate it all. I just ate it all. All right, it's gone. I'm not getting any more. And then my dad would get more, and I'm like, oh my God, because he gets more, and he doesn't eat it. So I'm like, I'm just going to eat this all, so it's gone. And then the next day, there's more sitting there.
Yeah. Umar, you're like a martyr. You're like, I need to get rid of this food so that we don't eat it.
And then he just gets more the next day, and he's like, I'm like, I don't want it. He's like, I'm going to eat it.
That's how I am too. Like with ice cream is my kryptonite. Like for that, like we all have like our thing we just can't handle. Like ice cream, if it's in the house, all I think about is like, well, when I finish the thing of ice cream, then it's not in the house anymore. And then I could make even more healthier choices.
Yeah.
So let's eat this entire thing of ice cream tonight so that tomorrow.
It's not here.
Yeah, it's not here. Obviously, you know, don't.
That does not work.
I hope that our listeners are knowing that there is a lot of humor that we're talking about here. I hope that we can get that across. Now, I'm not being completely serious about that being my mentality. But, yeah, I think having it, again, but that's tough, though. Jack, how old are you?
13.
You don't get to really choose what you have in the house.
Well, actually, like, I'm actually going to be honest. Like, I started this, like, in sixth grade, really. But, like, I just, like, honestly, like, told my mom, like, I was just honest with my mom and dad. Like,
sure.
I'm trying to get, like, fit or, like, not even shredded, just, like, even, like, at first, like, I'm trying to get, like, a healthier eating diet.
Yeah.
And then, like, they would just change that. Like, you don't have to make it into, like, a huge big deal. It's really just, like, something simple at the end of the day.
I love that. Like, you can pick something, right? And it could be simple. And it's great that your parents, hey, major shout out to your parents, right?
Yeah.
Like, for supporting your fitness goals. Mm-hmm. Like, that's huge to have the support in the house. It's hard if someone's buying ice cream all the time and or cookies and you can't say no to that. Because I know growing up when I lived at home, like, we're Italian. We have things to pick on and treats and candies, like, all throughout the house. And it's hard to say no. It's not as simple as just going self-control. Go ahead, Umar.
Another thing is, some people have siblings. Like, I do, too, but he's, like, my parents are divorced, so he's, like, he lives with my mom. So, basically, he eats a lot, like, of candy, right?
Sure.
Like, in sweets and stuff. He's older than me. So it's hard for me to control myself when I'm with him because he always has snacks in the house.
Social situations,
yeah,
right?
So that's the thing people might be going through. But my dad's house, it's just me and him. So I just got to go shopping with him. I go shopping for him sometimes. I'm like, and I tell him what to get. Like, no, we're not eating this because he's trying to lose weight as well.
Yeah.
And he started going to the gym. He enrolled. And I'm like pushing him. And so I'm like, no, we're not getting this. We're getting this.
You have to have a partner or have someone, a parent, a sibling, like a friend, who is like-minded or has, like, similar goals, you can make decisions in the household that kind of, like, match those.
But some people can't, though, because their parents just do everything for them.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying, too. Like, that becomes so challenging, your social situations, who you're around. You said your brother, you hang around with him. That's not a bad thing. You indulge in certain foods.
You become the people you're, like, around with.
Yeah. And it becomes really hard, too. You guys, you know, when you're at the age or if you're at the age and you guys start dating, what's a typical date look like?
Food.
Like enjoyable food. A lot
of... You go to dinner.
Yeah.
Right? You eat. And, like, that becomes really challenging for people, too, as they're, you know, navigating their social life. You don't want to be the dude or the girl that's hanging out with your friends. Like, hey, let's go out to dinner. And you're like, yeah, I'll have an ice cube and a lemon.
Yeah.
Like, you want to enjoy yourself and be able to do that. For me, what I thought was really helpful, and I'm blessed with a fast metabolism, right? So there are people who are not. But for me, I know a challenge that, like, my wife and I would do, we would do, like, 30-day challenges. We would just pick something. And one thing, it wasn't change everything in our life. We would do 30 days, no dessert. And whatever it was, if it was a birthday or an occasion, we would just be like, we got 30 days, no dessert. It's just 30 days. We can make it, or we do 30 days no sweets, 30 days no fast food was one that we did. We did no snacking after dinner. We just recently did one in the beginning of the year where it was 30 days no takeout. We forced ourselves every night to cook whatever we were going to eat. So you make healthier choices. It's easy when you're stressed or you're really busy, like, let's go swing through Wendy's.
No, that's not even – I'm not even joking. They have a Burger King next to my gym.
Yeah.
And every single day I used to go to
that's
get
terrible.
Burger King.
That's terrible.
And
that's
the thing
just
is,
mean.
When I checked the calories, I was like, oh, my God. Yeah. There's 1,000 calories in this one burger.
Yeah.
In just the burger, 1,000.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm not eating this anymore. I did, like, a challenge, like you said. No Burger King, like, ever.
Yeah.
And now
– so it doesn't have to be ever, right? It could just be 30 days.
Yeah.
And what I found was amazing was, like, after the 30 days, you would think, what do you think I'm going to do?
You go back to it.
Yeah. After 30 days, I kind of didn't have that urge for it as
that's
much
what
as,
I was gonna talk
as
about,
much as
like,
I thought I would.
Yeah, you, like, adapted to
yeah.
it.
Yeah, after not anymore. Eating Burger King, my dad asked me, you want some? And I,
like,
it's disgusting to
like,
me.
Nah, I'm good. Yeah.
I'm not even what? Like that. I'm just like, no, because before I was like, I want it, but I shouldn't eat it. But now it's just disgusting if I look at it. Instead of looking at it as food, I look at it as a number. 1,000, okay. Right there. Is it worth it? I have chicken at home. That's like 35 or 100, 200,
right.
Instead of 1,000.
Making more conscious decisions. You know, I think the challenge has kind of started with me. I'm thinking about it now. It's kind of funny. For Lent, for the Catholic holiday of Lent, you would give up something for 30 days? Somebody help me here. 60 days? 40 days, right? Yeah. I think from oh boy, what a bad Catholic I am. Good thing I didn't go to Catholic school for 6 years growing up. But for Lent, for my fellow Christians, you would give something up for that time. And I gave up soda 1 year. The end of the 30 days, Easter morning, I remember I cracked open a giant 2-liter thing of Sprite. And I was like, oh my, because I loved Sprite. I can't wait to drink this. It's been this long. And I took a sip and I was like, this is gross. And since then, I actually don't drink soda like at all. Maybe once in a while I'll have it, but the urge just died.
Yeah, that's what's cool, honestly. Like, to me, honestly, that's really cool. I loved Burger King. Yeah. Now it's disgusting.
Yeah. And you know what? If you go back after 30 days and you're like, ooh, I can't wait to have Burger King. Oh my God, Burger King's amazing. Cool. You just did a challenge. You just challenged your body and your mind to go without something that you wanted to see if you can do it. And it's no different than getting under a barbell and seeing, I lifted 100 pounds last week. Can I lift 105 this week? And you succeed, and it's an amazing feeling. And that's really all, when you really strip all this down, that's what this is. And as we're kind of winding down, personal goals, you have to plan with the end in mind. If you don't, you know, like any good EOA teacher talking to you about how to create a narrative, you have to have what your ending is in mind in order to be able to successfully get there. So a lot of times what you'll see is people, you know, you're not going to start seeing changes for 6 weeks, your body composition. It will take maybe other people 8 to 12 weeks to notice, oh, dude, you look like you lost weight. Or, even damn, if you girl, do. You're looking strong.
Yeah.
It's going to take a while. And
even if you look at your
commitment.
Body every single day, you're not going to notice a change unless you compare and contrast.
Yeah.
Because your body grows, and every day you look at it, it's only ever so slightly bigger
that
it just looks the same. When someone else looks at you, you look like 10 times bigger.
And you got to remember, you didn't notice when you looked different from sixth grade to now. Like, you looked like babies in sixth grade, right?
Yeah.
Like, you didn't one day look in the mirror and go, my God, I'm a man.
Yeah.
Like, it happened so slight.
You're not going to see changes, like, super fast. So, you're going to need to, like, wait it out. But that can like, actually be a problem for some people.
Yeah.
But it's, like, if you're not willing to take that on, just don't do it at that point. Like,
yeah. Small goals.
Yeah.
You can have a long-term goal, which is great, right? But I think being able to hit small goals is so important, because if you make just this one large goal of like, I want to be jacked, or I want to get skinny and fit, or I want to, you know, get abs, those are so vague that when you inevitably don't hit them, you're going to be so disappointed. And then a lot of times people just give up. And that's where you'll see New Year's Day or a couple of days after New Year's. Everyone's in the gym. New year, new me.
Oh,
baby.
Yeah. That's so. I wanted to talk about that.
Right. And then what happens is a lot of the typical person sets up these really, people will go to the gym at the end of a new year, at the end of holiday season, right? Whether it's Hanukkah, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, where we've indulged and eaten a lot and maybe gotten a little bit relaxed with like health choices. And then we're like, new year, new me. I'm going to get myself into shape. And then 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, we don't see any changes, and then we
stop.
We stop.
Yeah.
Because get yourself into shape is not a small goal. Make a small goal. That goal could be, I want to go to the gym 4 times a week. That's it. And then you get to the gym 4 days a week. On the fourth day, you can give yourself a pat on the back. So what are some of, you know, your short-term goals? What are some of your long-term goals?
Back in like probably like June, I said like, by the end of summer, like, I actually told, I'm not going to say his name, but I actually told one of my friends that, like, bro, I'm going to get abs. I'm going to get, like, a pretty defined six-pack by the end of summer. And, like, we were both like, I probably can't do it, but I'm going to just try it.
Sure.
And, like, it's like, kind of a short-term goal, though. And, like, I eventually got it by, like, probably, like, August. And, yeah, it's just kind of a cool short-term
goal. That's awesome. I think that's kind of a long-term goal, if anything. I think the shorter-term ones were probably the things you did on a weekly basis, whether it was like make healthier eating choices. Yeah, like, I'm going to do certain exercises during the week, and then the week is over, and you're like, hey, I did them. Yeah. Good for me. Short-term goal. As you kept hitting those small goals, how much easier did the long-term goal get?
Easier because you could see like you're accomplishing your stuff.
Yeah,
I'm almost there.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah, and that's and I think the people who don't hit those, you know, are setting maybe too high of goals or too vague of goals where you can't measure your progress.
Mm-hmm.
Jack, that's awesome. Congratulations on the abs.
Thank you.
Umar, what about you, man? Long term goal, short term goal?
So long term, I would say long term goal. Let's see. So I currently don't have a six pack. I have a two pack, two or four.
I love Tupac.
So my goal is to see if I can even get one. I'm trying to lose, at least 30 more pounds.
Okay.
I'm trying to get to Jack's level. You know what I mean?
Long term, right?
Yeah.
Long term goal, it sounds like, is lose weight, slim down, Tupac Shakur.
I forgot about the goals.
Yeah.
All right. I have to think of a goal.
That's okay. We come back.
Okay.
So, like, for me, my long-term goal is just to continue to lift, continue to weightlift forever. Like, that's my long-term goal. I'm 35. I want to be in my 40s and I want to continue to weightlift. I want to be in my 50s and continue to weightlift. I want to be in my 60s. I want to be in my 70s, right? And then we'll see what happens from there. But I want to continue to still be physically active for the entirety of my life because weightlifting has been the bulk of my life, actually. And then short-term goal is for me, and I think I've said it on this episode actually as an analogy, is I want to hit 400 pounds deadlifting. Small-term goal, short-term goals to get there, the training programs that you're using, right?
Whether what are you currently at?
Whether it's 385 was what I hit in the winter of last year.
Oh.
So like whatever the things you're doing to get there, whether it was Jack, you know, exercising and making good meal choices throughout the week, you know, following the program that you're doing or following, mm-hmm. you know, just getting to the gym and being active. Or if you're just trying to lose a little bit of weight, making more healthy conscious or health conscious decisions, doing something, right? Starting is not this complicated thing. It doesn't have to be this complicated thing.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be all or nothing.
For real. Like, yeah, I agree. Yeah.
It could be like, I want to get myself into a little more shape and I don't do anything physically active. All right, well, you don't need to be in the gym deadlifting or squatting. Go for 2 10-minute walks.
Yeah.
Go for one, work your way up to, two small-term goals, work your way up to one long 30-minute walk. And notice how, if you're doing this daily, how you'll feel at the end of the week. Oh, man, that first day kind of was a little out of breath. By the fifth day, I felt pretty good doing it. Like, those are the things that a lot of people can kind of start with. Do you, like, circle back to what Umar was saying in the beginning, calisthenics. Start working on body weight squats. Start, you know, doing push-ups, pull-ups. It doesn't have to be this overthought plan. If you like basketball, go play basketball with some friends. Like, that's a great way to get yourself in physical shape.
Yeah.
You're going to burn a lot of calories. And if you love basketball, like, don't overthink it. Just go play basketball with your friends. Go play soccer with your friends. I think the worst thing people could do, trying to do too much of something and not just picking something as a starting point. Umar, you said you, I think you had advice too of like for how to start about, you know, asking questions.
Oh yeah. So definitely ask questions. Get insight on for other people. If you don't want to, really don't want to, like you're an introvert or something, there's a lot of people on TikTok. Like if you search up Max Uceda or JPG Coaching, those two have really, really good tutorials. And when I first started, I was looking at people like Noel, if you guys know him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and instead of asking people like myself, I would, because I wasn't confident, I would search it up and I was like, oh, let me do this. And I got confident and I started asking questions and everything just sprung up from then. Life peaked for me.
I like that. Life peaked. I think the worst thing that I've done my time weightlifting was thinking during a certain period of time that I knew more than I knew. Not allowing myself, not challenging my beliefs or challenging what I thought I know. And I think really kind of that's what I hope this episode is. Three dudes love lifting. Jack, Umar, fantastic getting to chat with you. Until next time, stay safe, stay hungry. See ya.
Do you even lift, bro?